H-E-M, B-U-L-O-V-A, Bulova Watch Time, WABC, New York, 880 on your dial.
Monday, February 2nd, Prowser presents Vox Pop, the voice of the people, conducted by Parks Johnson and Wally Butterworth. Excited. We're broadcasting from one of the most secret places in America. X-ray. This special broadcast is being held at the Vulti Aircraft Plant in Downey, California. A heavily guarded, blacked-out factory producing basic trainers. A big crowd of employees, ladies and gentlemen, who have just finished an 8-hour shift are gathered for this special program. Actually, we're broadcasting outdoors because every single inch is some vital part of manufacture. Okay, Vulti, let's go! Carry on.
Wally, what do you think of this swell crowd, fella?
Brother, this Vulti outfit is really keeping them...
Now for our first Vox Papa. You know, squadron of planes up in the air. Now, just how Weicker, who is a plasterer, fits into the picture is something to meet Mr. Ralph W. Peel. Ralph or Mr. Peel?
Ralph, please.
Okay, Ralph, let's get acquainted, right? Married?
You bet.
Any children?
Two.
Boys or girls?
Boys and girls, right down on my left, right there.
Oh, they're cute-looking kids. What's your old hometown?
Truro, Nova Scotia.
What?
Truro, Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia, huh?
Yes, sir.
Where's your blue nose? Yours is a little red here.
Well, I've been in California about 20 years. Sunshine warmed it up.
Yeah. Now, Ralph...
You know Nova Scotia, don't you?
Yeah, I know where it is.
When I first came out here, they told me she was an upper.
They haven't heard about it out here in California, have they? Say, Ralph, what's this plasterer job of yours? Where does that fit in on aircraft business?
And patterns that are used in the foundry.
Wait a minute. What's a mock-up?
Oh, a mock-up is similar to a dressmaker when she...
He's using his hands,
form...
folks, to show me that. Okay.
Every form can't be the same, and naturally every airplane is not the same.
I see.
We make a plaster model, or full size, I should say.
Oh, full size?
Yes,
well,
sir.
I was just going to ask you if it was a little one.
No, sir. A full size of that airplane.
I see. You just slapped the plaster on.
Well, no, it can't be done that roughly. We get our templates from the template department, and those are right on the button.
Oh, you mean it's got to be exact?
Exact. To the 64th and sometimes to the thousandth in particular things.
It makes a lot of difference if it isn't exact, is that right?
Oh, it makes a big difference if it isn't exact. One piece wouldn't fit on the other one if it wasn't exact.
Uh-huh. And then from this plaster, what happens?
Well, from the plaster, we make our patterns, which are used in the drop
hammers.
You
mean the dies?
The dies.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, I'm getting educated. Now, Ralph, I'll tell you, I'll say this. Is that Mrs. Peel over there?
Down around here in the cold.
You must be pretty well plastered when you get home at the end of the day, don't you, Ralph? Huh?
I've been told that I come home plastered every night. But
And one man can go home plastered every night and get away with it.
That's right. I'm one man who can. Yes, Park.
Well, Ralph, what are your hobbies?
Wood shop and archery.
Archery?
Yeah, I like archery.
Did you ever do a William Tell on that young son of yours?
No, but I tried on everything else.
You have?
Yes.
Well, I thought maybe you'd answer something like that. Anyway, we took a chance and we brought you a parlor bow and arrow set that won't hurt him if you happen to hit him. Amazing.
Thanks a lot.
Maybe you did.
That's fine. We'll try that in the front
Ralph,
room.
I've noticed hundreds and hundreds of women workers here at Vulti, and I believe this is the first of the aircraft plants to use women workers.
I believe we were the first.
Any in your department?
None in 32, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, you discriminated against, huh? That's too bad. Are they good workers?
As a general rule, I used to see them all over the shop when I had another job for a while. They really are splendid workers.
They are splendid workers. Well, I'm glad to hear that. They don't disturb you, do you, around here?
Well, not in our department, they don't.
Ralph, what do you do with your leisure time?
Leisure time? Mm-hmm. Well, I work in my garage, old building archery equipment, to some extent.
You work in your wood shop a little bit?
Yes, I work in my wood shop.
That's what I wanted to hear, wanted to tell you that I was hoping you'd say wood shop, because Bromo Seltzer has for you two things. First of all, we got a swell woodworking set of tools that I believe you can use. Is that right?
Oh, you bet I can.
Wait a minute.
Oh,
and next,
swell.
Because I know it does get chilly here 3 or 4 days in a year, we have an electro steam radiator that you just plug in and it heats your house.
Woo-hoo.
How you like it, all right?
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Ralph.
Glad you.
Okay, Bill Bevin.
Friends, before you meet our next aircraft workers interview here is a brief but important message. A message that may save you much needless suffering.
Friends, when you have a headache, one of those miserable splitting headaches that most of us get now and then, take a Bromo Seltzer and just see what quick, effective relief you get. Relief not only from the ache in your head, but relief from jumpy nerves and upset stomach as well. Heads, nerves, stomach. That's Bromo Seltzer's famous three-way action. And that's why millions wouldn't dream of taking anything but Bromo Seltzer for a headache. Try it yourself the next time you're suffering from a headache. Now, you can get Bromo Seltzer for as little as 10 cents at any drugstore. And believe me, you'll never know what quick, effective relief Bromo Seltzer can give until you try it. All right, Wally, who's our next guest from Vaulty?
Well, we're all set, Bill. He's in the engineering department. I want him to tell his own name. Your name, sir?
Weaver, John Weaver.
John, where are you from? I'm going to call you John. You call me Wally.
Okay, Wally, yeah.
Where are you from?
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica. Quickly, what two famous American leaders had birthdays within the last week?
President Roosevelt and General MacArthur.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. John, you're a sort of a handsome divil, I might say. And I understand that you're very popular with the ladies around here. They sort of gasp as you walk through the... Is that right? Huh? You admit it, of course you do. Well, now, I tell you, in order that none will be disappointed, we have for you 200 kisses, some of the blonde variety, some of the chocolate variety, and there we are, and we want you to have them, as well as distribute them to all the girls here. How long have you been with Vaulty, and what do you do?
I've been with Vaulty about 5 years now.
Yes, and what do you do?
And work in the engineering department.
You work in the engineering department?
Yes.
Well, you mean designing engineer?
Yes, some design work.
How do engineers go about designing a dive bomber, for example?
Well, the main thing about that dive bomber is the fact that it must carry a certain disposable load in the form of bombs.
Well, where do you get your experience, for the designing? Did you get it from the British or what?
Well, we take it from the British, we take it from the Air Corps, we take it from everyone that's ever built any dive bombers before us.
I see. Even including the enemy?
Including the enemy, yes.
I understand now, and I think it's been published, but I'll bet millions don't know it. I want you to tell me the story of this German Messerschmitt plane. I think it's 110 Messerschmitt that you have here. Tell us about it, where you got it, and all about it.
Well, that airplane, I believe, was given to Vaulty by the ARF, or the RAF.
Yes.
And that airplane was given to us to take apart, study, do anything we pleased, as long as we benefited therefrom.
Well, was it sent to you all in one hunk, or was it shot down?
No, it was sent to us in crates, disassembled, fuselage, wings, power plant, and so on. And it was reassembled here for general investigation, then taken apart piece by piece, and pictures made of, and quite an extensive investigation made of the airplane.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you, without divulging any secrets, tell us what you learned from the inspection?
Yes, it's a good airplane. It had... was very well equipped from an instrument standpoint. It had a lot of radio in it.
Mm-hmm.
It had some very nice production features and some features that weren't so nice.
I see. But it was a production job.
It was a production airplane, yeah.
Well, tell me, for example, how it, say, a Stuka. Let's take a German Stuka. How does that compare with the Vaulty Vengeance?
Oh, it doesn't compare at all.
Why?
I'm afraid the Vengeance is quite a little better airplane.
It's a newer plane, too.
Oh, much newer.
Designed. I see the boys and girls agree with you. What are the most important things that an engineer has to consider in the designing of a bomber?
Well, it must have good firepower, must have good range,
yeah.
Must have good useful load carrying capacity.
Yeah.
It must have comfortable quarters for the crew.
Yeah.
And it must be, above all things, a serviceable airplane.
They tell me the tail has an important part in that.
Well, yes, it's a good thing to make it go the proper direction.
In order to pull out of dives and
yeah,
so on.
Yes,
I notice that you have all of the workers here have passes for their various departments. Are they permitted in other departments of the factory?
Not unless the color of their badge allows them to be in another department. Sometimes numbers.
That's the roving pass, huh?
Yes.
Well, what do they do if they're caught off limits?
Well,
they have a lot of explaining to do.
They certainly do.
I understand there was an accident here a few weeks ago that occurred out here on the airfield. Will you tell us about it?
What accident do you mean?
Well, it was sort of with one of the armed guards. Didn't you hear about it?
No, I didn't hear about that one at all.
Why, sure. It was an incident that occurred here one night.
Oh, no. I didn't hear about that one.
Sure, there was a sort of a very tragic accident occurred here when one of the armed guards tried to halt somebody.
No, I didn't hear that at all.
You didn't hear it?
Well, no.
Not about the cow?
No.
Well, he said, halt who goes there, and nobody answered. Then he said, halt who goes there again, and nobody answered, and all he could see was something moving across the airport, so he cut loose. And not knowing whether or not it might be an enemy, he killed a cow. Which shows you that the armed guard, the army, is on the alert out here. Now, the Volte Vengeance dive bomber, I want you to tell us about her speed and how many guns she carries and her cruising range, and how many bombs she'll carry. Tell me all about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Wally, if you'd really like to know what that airplane will do and how much firepower it has and so on and so forth,
yes.
There's a certain fella, if he doesn't already know, can tell you in a very short time. That's a fella by the name of Hirohito.
All right, John, I think I'll write him a letter and ask him about it. Well, we're proud of our interview with you, and Bromo Seltzer wants you to have, for your kindness, this fine band saw and motor for your workshop, also this brass fireplace set. And that set of andirons for your fire.
That's mine.
All right, Park.
Okay, Wally. Well, our next Voltairean is an inspector of sheet metal fabrication. He was a commercial artist, he did own a grocery store, and he has served a hitch in the U.S. Marines. Folks, meet Mr. Forrest Pendergast. Let's get a little quick picture of you, shall I say, Forrest?
Yeah, Forrest.
All right, Forrest. How old are you?
32.
Married?
Yeah.
Any children?
One.
What's the old hometown?
Well, I really haven't any.
No hometown, huh?
No,
just just a Marine. A Marine at heart, after all, aren't you?
I imagine that.
I'm going to check that Marine Corps thing in a minute, but first of all, tell me why you quit the grocery business.
Well, I found that being too generous didn't pay.
Oh, you trusted people too much,
well,
did you?
Well, in a way, yes.
And so you quit the grocery business. Well, now, before we get on to the Marines business, I noticed in on your questionnaire, which we looked over, that under heading of former jobs, you said wolf killer. So you're a hunter.
Well, not necessarily, but we all remember 1929 to 32.
Oh, that kind
of
wolf,
and there's
huh?
a wolf around. It had to be taken care of.
It had to be shot every now and then, didn't it?
That's right.
I guess you're right about that. I thought I was going to get a big game story out of you here, something like that.
Well, that was pretty big game.
Well, it was big game at that. Say, Forrest, you know what special day this is?
What special day?
Uh-huh. February 2nd?
Well, to me, it's Box Pop Day.
Attaboy. Thanks a lot, Forrest. But what I meant was it's Groundhog Day, and to sort of help you celebrate it tonight after you leave here, we've got for you 10 pounds... Rather, 5 pounds, I believe, of ground hog.
Oh.
In other words, sausage. So, Boris, when were you in the Marines?
1932 to 1935.
Did you get to Shanghai?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is a strange thing. We've talked to a lot of Marines, and every Marine I ever talked to that was in Shanghai knows a certain very popular young lady out there. I wonder if you know the same one that I'm talking about.
Mary?
Oh, yeah. Big Mary.
Big Mary.
Big Mary.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Yeah.
I never saw a Marine yet today. I'd like to meet Mary. What's your job at Volte, Forrest?
Sheet metal fabrications inspector.
What does that mean?
Oh, we inspect all the parts that are fabricated in Department 30, sheet metal.
You make darn sure that everything is 100%, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
As to the quality of the metal and what is done. Suppose a worker makes a mistake. What happens out here?
Well, he calls it to our attention.
In other words, you don't hide a mistake out here.
Oh, no, can't do that. Too much involved.
You bet your life is too much involved. I suppose though making planes is just another job for you fellas, isn't it?
Well, I guess it was a few years ago, but right now it's a pretty important job.
You bet.
It's more than just a job.
Do you take a lot of pride in it?
I do, personally, and I feel everybody else does.
Do you, men? Do you take a lot of pride in it?
You bet your life.
Much sketching nowadays?
Oh, I don't have much time, but occasionally I... get in the dumps, I might sketch a picture.
You might? Well, suppose you were sort of tired and worn out. What kind of picture would you probably sketch?
Tired and worn out?
Uh-huh.
Something rejuvenating.
Yeah? Well, that's...
Oh, something...
that covers a lot of ground now.
I just can't put it to words.
All right, we'll pass that up. You got a look in your eye that I think I'd better go on you. suppose you felt sort of mad and mean and tough, what kind of a sketch would you probably make?
Well, right now, the way things are going, maybe a Volte dive bomber smearing a bunch of Japs would be pretty good.
And a boy, that really would be a move. Now, Forrest, the little bird told us that it may be that you could use one of these two presents we've got coming. Let me see if you can. It's a nice little rubber-tied baby buggy with a sunshade over it and all like that. Can you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I can
do that fine.
Okay, fine.
That's all right.
Almost, you can get in there yourself and be roll around. And Forrest Bromo Seltzer also wants you to have, for Mrs. Pendergast especially, this silver service, creamer, tray, sugar. Oh, boy. Can you use it?
That's lovely.
If you can't, give it to me.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. That's really good.
Okay, Wally.
Friends, we're in a great defense plant at this moment, and now we take you to another great plant. By means of this letter from Mr. James Crowley of Bridgeport, Connecticut, he writes,
"The defense plant in which I work is running 24 hours a day on three shifts, and this business of changing from one shift to another each week sure is hard on my system. One night recently when I was on the 11 to 7 shift, my head was aching and I felt jumpy all over. In fact, I didn't see how I could last till the next bunch came on duty, but one of the fellows told me to get some Bromo Seltzer from his locker and try it. I did, and in no time I felt swell and kept going, turning out shells for the government. A bottle of Bromo Seltzer is now in my own locker, and there'll always be one there, as nothing I've tried for headaches seems to give me as comforting relief as Bromo Seltzer."
Thank you, James Crowley. Your letter certainly bears out what Parks and Bill Bivens and I keep saying. You just can't know what quick, effective relief Bromo Seltzer can give until you try it.
And that's right, friends. So next time you have a headache, step into your nearest drugstore and ask for Bromo Seltzer. And see for yourself what Bromo Seltzer's famous three-way action can mean to you. Now, of course, if you have persistent or recurring headaches, then see your physician. But for those occasional splitting headaches that most of us get, take Bromo Seltzer. Now use it only as directed on the label. Remember, only Bromo Seltzer can give you Bromo Seltzer results. All right, Wally, who's next?
Bill, we're going to find out the vital part that women are playing in aviation. Will you tell us your name, please?
Ruth Hagberg.
Are you married?
No, sir.
Where'd you go to school?
Grants Pass, Oregon.
Won't you describe to us your work here at Volte?
Well, I do sub-assembly, parts for the wings, and I use a squeeze gun for riveting.
Yes.
Two outer wing panels.
How long have you done that?
For 8 months.
You really have? You're one of the first women out here to buck rivets, so to speak?
Yes, sir. I was the first one in Department 45 to buck rivets for any man.
For a man?
Yes, sir.
Where'd you get your previous experience?
At Phelps Dodge.
How long were you there?
I was there 6 months.
Well, I'd like to say to you, on behalf of the hundreds of women who are here, you're doing one grand job in this defense. Now, let's see how observing you are. Do you know the color of the star on the insignia of a plane's wing? Your own plane you're making right here.
Blue?
Oh,
isn't it blue?
Is it?
Why is it blue?
Huh?
Red?
Are you on the assembly line as that thing goes along every day?
No, I'm not on that. I'm on sub-assembly.
Will you take a look and see if you don't find it's white? Will you do that?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, you girls have a 30-minute lunch period, don't you? You work from 7:30 to 8, or 7:30 to 4?
Yes, sir.
And 30 minutes for lunch?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm afraid you have too much time to kill there, so we're going to give you this bridge table and a couple of decks of cards so that you can have the boys and girls play bridge with you at lunch. Now, would you rather work alongside men or women in the assembly line?
Men, I think.
Why? Why?
Well, I don't know. I think they help you out more, tell you more about the work you're to do, and, I don't know. In general, they're a lot more fun to work with.
Mm-hmm. Do they gossip as much as the women?
Oh, yes.
Oh, they do, huh? Do they treat you as a woman in your work along the line, or just another fella?
Just another fella.
Just another guy in the line. Is your pay the same as that of a man?
That's right, sir.
Well, I think as long as you're doing the same type of work, I think that's just and as it should be. Now, with your color hair, have the boys given you a nickname?
Yes, they have.
What is it?
Red.
Uh-huh. I notice most all of the girls are wearing slacks. Is that compulsory?
Yes, sir.
Are there any other musts in the clothing women wear here?
Well, they have to have leather top shoes.
Open toes?
No open toe shoes.
No open toes. I see. Anything else?
Well, they must wear slacks.
Yes.
And if they're on a drill or anything like that, they have to wear something over their hair, a net or a handkerchief.
Keep it from getting caught, of course. What do you do when you're off duty here? Weekends, for example.
Oh, I go to Arrowhead quite a bit.
Have a cabin up there or something?
Yes, sir.
Do you go in for any sports?
Oh, a little bit of everything up there.
Well, I mean, generally speaking.
Oh, tobogganing, skiing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Hagberg, Bromos also wants you to have a couple of nice gifts. First, a fitted overnight case for some of your weekend trips up to Arrowhead. Oh. And...
Thank you very much.
And also this waffle iron and grill. Now, you've got a special boyfriend, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
What's he do?
He's a pilot in the Army Air Corps.
Did he take his training on the very type ship you're helping to build here?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, this lad who has joined up to keep him flying for the one of many who have keeping him flying for the Army Air Force, is he a pretty handsome sort of aviator?
Well, I think he is.
You do? Would you go so far as to say that you love him?
Yes.
You would? Very much?
I think so.
You do? Is that telephone busy there? Here's your chance to tell that young gentleman, that pilot, exactly how much you love him, because he's right on the end of that phone. Okay, keep talking.
Hello? Jimmy? Oh, God.
Better cut it while it wasn't just too hot.
Oh, tell him you love him.
How are you? You don't answer me.
Don't answer if he loves you.
Hey, do you love me? Sure.
Well, now you go... you go right on over in the corner. I think we've heard enough of your conversation, and you just carry on. All right.
Stay here. Stay here.
Well, our next worker here is almost a mystery man. He is the expert in charge of special experimental laboratory work of some kind, Mr. Richard Stale Ryan. Mr. Ryan, we have three very important questions for you that I know every listener will be interested in.
Well, just fire away, Mr. Johnson.
Well, first of all, how many dive bombers per day are you turning out here at Vaulty?
Well, that's very easy to answer, Parks. Off our assembly line of Strand 4, Skatane plus Type 4 there every day. And also the enchanters from Tree Try and, of course, Fear. And we can keep it up indefinitely.
What? You... Well, that's very interesting. Very, very interesting, Mr. Ryan. Now, what is the top speed of these five bombers?
Well, you may not believe it, Wally, but our latest tests show that these planes will transform its fallless Tabor and its amphibious fall. And boy, that's traveling.
Oh, man. I never thought they'd go that fast. Did you, Wally?
No, sir.
Well, one last question, Mr. Ryan. How fast will these planes climb? You've told us their diving speed and how many feet per minute will they climb?
Well, it's amazing, Wally, but these planes can climb up to stem force to achieve from feet and exactly the stem pumps for the minute. And that's comes to fourth place and than ever before in the history of aviation.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mr. Ryan, I know that all Americans are indebted to you for your very clear and concise answers to those important questions. And as a little gift for you, we have not one, but two dictionaries so that you can keep up the good work on your double coat.
Well, Parks, that's very standoff of you, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my stamp corps to play for
that. Whatever that is. Now we got some of the lowdown, we'll go after some more. Our next Vox Papa is a flight engineer. He comes from Milwaukee, from the University of Wisconsin, and let's get acquainted with Bill Dittman. Hi, Bill. Bill, how old are you?
25.
Are you married?
No, still single.
Well, you're old enough, Gale. What's the matter? Yeah, huh?
Well, I believe in looking the situation over pretty good, and I'm still looking.
Oh, I see. You're still looking. Well, you're a flight test engineer. It must be pretty nice sightseeing over beautiful Southern California every day, Bill.
Well, you're a little bit wrong there. It isn't exactly sightseeing.
Don't you go up?
Well, we go up all right, but we're working.
Oh, yeah. Naturally, you've got to work some. Go ahead. Tell me about it, will you?
Well, we start right at the takeoff, and we have a lot of data to record, and we only take part of it, as much as we can.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we'd like to take more and more, and...
Do you actually look out of a plane while you're up on a test flight?
Well, every once in a while, we manage to steal a glance.
Sneak a look, huh? Actually, your instruments keep you busy. Well, what are you testing for? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to find out?
Well, first of all, we have to find out just how fast the airplane will go or how fast it'll climb.
Yeah.
And secondly, we have to determine how well it will carry out its initial purpose.
The purpose for which it was built.
That's right.
I see. And you've got a lot of instruments. You've got to do that. Say, Bill, just for a minute, let's digress. I know you never really tested one of them. I just want to see how good a guesser you are. You know the little old honeybee?
Yes, sir.
You've seen him. Well, would you say that a honeybee can carry more or less load than its own weight?
I'd say it could carry more.
More is right, up to 120%. You're pretty good. Now, Bill, I know you've got practically every instrument known for testing things, but we've provided you, I think, three instruments testing things that you may have use for that I bet you haven't got out here. A bunch of balloons, a kite, and a bubble blower. I don't know just exactly what you're going to test.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure that'll help a lot.
Well, you and a pilot work together as a team, don't you?
That's right. We have to have quite a bit of teamwork. The pilot must know just what the observer is capable of, and vice versa.
I see. Well, now, I got you grounded on this one. How are you going to check a single-seater plane that only the pilot can go up in?
Well, we have automatic recording equipment on which quite a considerable amount of research is still being done.
Camera
equipment and other types of automatic equipment, mm-hmm. which I can't explain.
And that's, naturally, I wouldn't ask you because I know we better not do that. But you tested the Volte Vanguard, Vengeance, dive bomber.
Vengeance, that's right.
You have tested that.
Yes,
what's it especially designed to do, Bill?
It's specially designed for dive bombing operations.
Uh-huh.
And I'm quite sure that it could get rid of its disposable load over Yokohama.
It could at that. Say, Bill, we want to thank you a lot for being up here and giving us what you can of a very confidential job. We know you have it. We noticed that you are a pipe smoker. So Bromo Seltzer, of its two gifts to you, has a swell Meerschaum pipe. I hope you have a lot of fun covering it. And knowing that you ride a lot, here's a pair of the finest English riding boots that we could get. Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Parks.
Well, Parks, I just want to introduce Ken McLennan, who is an artist and who used to work for Walt Disney. Now, what does a man who drew pictures for Walt Disney do in an aircraft factory?
Draw pictures of the airplane either in their entirety or in part.
Well, do you do that from the engineer's designs or
what? That's correct, from blueprints or ordnance lines.
You sort of anticipate. Are your drawings highly confidential?
Yes, sir, they are.
Uh-huh. Well, do you ever find yourself drawing Mickey Mouse piloting, for example, a Volte Vengeance bomber?
Well, I used to think...
Or is that confidential?
That's more or less confidential so far as the chief engineer is concerned.
Uh-huh. But do you do it? He's not listening.
He's not. Well, once in a great while. But noontime, that is.
Oh, I see.
It's 12:30.
Do you draw pictures of Mickey for the boys?
Yeah, and the boys over at Disney's probably draw pictures of airplanes.
Uh-huh.
Wally, we're going to have to apologize to Mr. McClellan. Somewhere along the line, we overdid our time.
All right. I want to give him the compliments of Bromo Seltzer, some toy animals to draw, first of all, and then this fine wristwatch and automatic coffee maker.
We do.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm sure.
Before the news on next week's show, here's a brief but important reminder.
Friends, the next time you're feeling miserable because of a headache, try the famous product that brings you this Vox Pop program. Try Bromo Seltzer. Either get a small trial bottle for home use or take a drink of Bromo Seltzer at the drug fountain. Remember, 10 cents is all it costs to try Bromo Seltzer. And we feel sure that once you experience Bromo Seltzer's famous three-way action, you'll say to yourself, "Well, by golly, I've never tried anything that gave me such quick, effective relief from headache. From now on, it's Bromo Seltzer for me."
Folks, 1 week from tonight, we have a really unusual Vox Pop program lined up. We're going to attend a special meeting of a distinguished New York club. the Circus Saints and Sinners.
Yes, sir, and among the celebrities, we're going to make Fall Guys out of Parks and me, Fred Waring, Ole Olsen of Olsen & Johnson, and Larry McPhail of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
This is Bill Bevins speaking for Bromo Seltzer. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.